Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's a real privilege to be with you this morning and to bring the message to you, talking about this will be my story. This place is very much part of my story. I would call this home, I guess, for a good 3 to 4 years, about 15 years back. A very special place to me, and as I said, it's a privilege to come and to speak with you this morning. I think I know all of you, but if I don't, I'm Andy, I'm married to Katie, and I have 2 children, Florence and Dora, and I've been worshipping at Billericay Baptist Church for the last 30 years. I'm a teacher in a primary school, not too far from here, and so I guess you would say that I quite like to talk, being a teacher, and I hope that that will be the case this morning. About 18 years ago, Katie and I had been married for just 2 to 3 years, and we were approached by Helen and Bruce Bott, and they invited us to come on a marriage course with them up at Billericay Church. And I, if I'm honest, wasn't too keen, but then I heard that there would be nice cake and things, so I went along, and it was, I think it was about a 6 to 8 week course, and I don't remember too much, but I'm still married now, so it must have been helpful. But I do remember one thing. I do remember one thing, and it was about love languages. And the premise is that each of us has our own way of showing love, but also our own way of how we like to receive love. So here are the different love languages. The first one is love shown through words, so affirmation, encouragement, the things we say to one another. So there are some people that when people encourage them or give them praise, that really lifts them up and helps them feel loved. The other one is acts of service. So for some, they really like to show and receive love through the small things of life. Someone making them a meal, bring them a cup of coffee when they haven't asked for it. Small, simple acts of service. The other is the gift of time. For some, they show love by spending time with others. Or they like to receive love by having a meal together or going for a walk together, watching a favourite film together, but just being together. And for others, some like to show love through physical touch, the holding of hands as they walk along the road together. A hug in the morning, a kiss on the cheek. It's a sign of affection, a sign of love. And for others too, there is the showing of love through the giving and receiving of gifts. A nice bunch of flowers, a box of chocolates, a new watch, a new car maybe, whatever it might be. Some like to show and receive love through the giving of gifts. And the premise of this was that you have to, one, know your partner's love languages, and then also know your own. Because otherwise in a marriage, you might be constantly trying to do kind acts of service because you think you're showing love. But to your partner, it doesn't really make much difference. Really, all they want is a hug or a hold of the hand. We'll come back to love languages later on. As I said earlier on this morning, we're starting a new series. A series titled Conversations with God. And it comes from the book of Malachi. A book that is deemed as being from the minor prophets. When you hear the word minor prophets, there's nothing minor about them. Other than the fact that the books are shorter. Major prophets, like Jeremiah, it just means that the books are slightly longer. So there is no kind of hierarchy there. The book was written in the 5th century BC by the author and the main character in the book, Malachi, whose name means messenger. And it was written and given at a time when the Israelites had returned back home from their exile in Babylon. They had rebuilt the temple, but things weren't going too well. The temple was nowhere near as glorious and as splendid as the temple from before. The people were in constant threat from their enemies that surrounded them in their nearby land. The priests were not doing their job as they should be. People were unhappy. And into this setting, Malachi comes to deliver his message from God. And there are six conversations between God and his people. And they each follow the same pattern. God declares something, the people question it, and then God gives his response. And today we're looking at that first conversation in Malachi, and it's a conversation about love. So in Malachi chapter 1, it's titled in my Bible, Israel Doubts God's Love. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declared the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild this ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may be built, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. So God declares his love for the people through Malachi, but straight away they question it. How have you loved us? And then God responds with the story of Esau and with Jacob, his brother, and how Jacob and his descendants were chosen by God. How have you loved us? They asked. When things are going well, it can be easy to see God's blessing and God's love for us. It can feel like he's very much with us, present and acting in our lives. And we can say, Lord, we love you and you clearly love us. But like the people at this time, life isn't always easy. Life doesn't always go according to plan. And at those moments, it sometimes feels like we want to shout out, how have you loved us, God? How have you shown this love? I sing it, I'm told it, I pray it, but it just doesn't seem to be real for me. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 89, Lord, where is your former great love? The reality of life can sometimes lead us to question God's love. It just doesn't seem like he is there. But God is love. And he is there. And so often in my life, in times of trouble and in times of trials, I've come out the other side and seen that God was there through the people that were around me, through the words that were spoken to me, the things I read myself. And I can say, yes, God, you did love me. I wonder if you can relate to that as well in your own lives. That it can be easy to see God's love when times are good. But when times are hard, it can be a struggle. And this morning I want to draw out two main reflections from this reading. The first is in a statement, I have forgotten. And the second is the statement, pull me back to you. Paul, in Romans chapter 9, builds on this passage a bit more and unpicks for us what God is saying about Esau and about Jacob. And we can see this in Romans chapter 9, verses 11 through to 16. Yet before the twins were born, this is Esau and Jacob, or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. This is so countercultural to what we consider. Love is earned. Love is shown. Surely love is given because of the things we do. But Paul is saying, no. He's saying, God loves us because he has mercy on us. He has chosen each one of us. The simple message of this morning is that God is love and he loves you because of his mercy for us. We are covered with God's mercy. He loves us. I remember a while back I was at a conference and the person that was speaking was talking about forgetting God's love in their life and how we could just, sometimes it feels like we just keep going on and on and on and we live our life and we forget all of the things that God has done. And the person speaking was encouraging us to keep some kind of a journal or a diary and just to note down things that God might be doing in your life at the moment so that in years to come you could look back and see the good things that God has done. I'm sure all of us now could say a good thing that God has done in our lives. Maybe it was a while ago, maybe it was yesterday, maybe it was this morning. But all of us have stories to tell. Stories of God's goodness and God's love to us. I don't know, maybe that might be something that you want to start to do, to write down the good things that God is doing for you today. So that when times are difficult, because they will be difficult, that's the reality of life, we can look back and we can see God's goodness in our lives and in the lives of the ones that we love ourselves. Lord, where is your former great love, says the psalmist. But God's love is given because we are chosen. God loves us unconditionally. It does not depend on the things we do or the things we say. He loves us regardless. And our second reflection, pull me back to you. A few years ago, it was leading up to Katie, my wife's 40th birthday. And on a 40th birthday, you tend to mark that in a special way. You like to do something, maybe a bit, have a bigger party or do something. And Katie had said to me about 4 or 5 months before her birthday that she wanted to do something that was a bit different. It was a bit kind of out there. A bit kind of out of the norm. So I thought about this for a long while and I was struggling to come up with something creative and unique, I've got to be honest. Barring putting on a surprise party, I was a bit lost for the things that I could do. And then I stumbled across an episode by the adventurer Bear Grylls. Has anyone heard, have you heard of Bear Grylls? And as I was looking, I saw that on this website that there was a Bear Grylls Adventure Centre in Birmingham. And you could do all types of activities and things there. And I thought, Katie said she wanted to do something a bit different. Let's do something there. So I booked us in for a scuba diving session to swim with sharks. I thought, that's different. So we went up to the Bear Grylls Centre. We'd stayed overnight before, had a nice meal. I told Katie at this point that we were doing this, and she was very much looking forward to it. And we did our scuba diving, and it was amazing, and we got to swim with, it was brilliant. The sharks were kind of up there. They weren't going to be able to get us, I think, but I still get to say we swam with sharks. But then as part of the package, we got to do another activity, and you could choose the one that you want to do. You could do kind of archery, which I think was a bit kind of boring, didn't really want to do that. Or you could go on the Bear Grylls Adventure Course, which sounded very exciting. So I thought, yes, we'll definitely, we'll book him for that. So we did our scuba diving thing, went and had a bit of lunch, and then we went to this place, and it was kind of all very mysterious and quite dark, and didn't we know what was going on. And we got led through into this kind of room for a briefing. Now, if ever you have a briefing before an activity and you have to sign a waiver, then you know that like, this could potentially be a bit kind of a bit hectic. And we got put into this kind of, we had this suit that we had to wear, and that was all fine. And then we went through, and the guy that was leading the session gave us one instruction. And he said, keep your hand on the rope. And there was this big, really thick rope at the side, and there was a door that was kind of a bit like sometimes in the old-fashioned out the back of kitchens. My nan used to have one. It was kind of draped through there, and you went through it and made a noise. Do you know, can you picture what I mean? Yeah. It was a bit like that. And it led you through into this building. And essentially, it was a dark maze. And we held onto this rope, and there's about 10 people in a line, and we kind of take in a tentative step each time we went through into the next space. And there was noise, and there was things that were falling down on you. You kind of, sometimes you had to go really low to the ground to kind of creep through. Other times it would be kind of this big, open, dark space, and just, it was a sensory overload experience of stuff happening. But the whole while through, you had to hold on to the rope. You had to hold on to the rope. And there was one point where it led you up these steps, and then you got to the top of these steps, and there was nothing but a drop, and you had to lie on your kind of belly, hold this rope, and kind of pull yourself down this shaft, and then back up through. There were a number of points where I thought, I'm really not enjoying this. But actually, once you finished it and you were out the other side and you saw the light, it was just like, yeah, I've accomplished something. But the whole way through, we had to hold on to the rope. And when we'd finished this activity and we were driving home, and a few days later, I was kind of reflecting on our adventure, swimming with sharks and going through this maze, holding on to the rope. I thought to myself, God is like that rope. You know, in that maze, there was some really hair-raising stuff happening. Times when I genuinely felt quite scared. Times when there was a euphoria of coming out the other end and it all being light and open and finishing. But the whole way through, we had to hold on to the rope. And it made me think of God. That in life, the whole way through, we've got to hold on to the rope. Hold on to the promises of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 to 8, we read, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people. For you were the fewest of all the peoples. He's talking to Israel at this point. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of the Pharaoh king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees and laws I give you today. And if I could say also, hold on to the rope. Love, or God's love, is not based on performance, but promise. He has chosen you. He promises to love you. And if you hold on to the rope in your life, you will see God's love in action through you and through your family. So if you go back to that thing that we spoke about right at the beginning about love languages, I wonder what the love languages of God are. Well, I would argue that he doesn't really have any love languages, because God is love and he is all of those things and more. He shows love to you through his promises in the Bible, through his actions in your life, through the gifts of love and the very gift of breath that he gives to us. He shows love through the time that he is with us and the words in the Bible that declare and decree his promises to you in your life. God is love and God loves you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this passage from Malachi. We thank you for the message of love that it brings, that you are love and that you love us. Lord, in whatever situations we find ourselves in at the moment, I pray you would help us to hold on to the rope, to hold on to you, to your promises, the many good things that you say you will do for us, but most importantly, that you love us. And I pray that that will be the reality of our lives today, that we will leave this space knowing deep in our hearts that you have chosen us and that you love us. And through that love, we can show that to others, be it our family, our friends, our colleagues, or anyone that you bring into our lives. Lord, help us to show the amazing, generous love that you have poured out to us. Amen.